And I am now, but yeah.
So
we have had dance competitions before. And guess who won?
So this is really timely because I understand that after the kids' question time, when they go downstairs for kids' church, there's like a praise dance thing going today. Is that right?
Wow.
So yeah, this is a perfect question for that. So
we can dance later. We can get some appropriate music. We can dance later.
Deirdre can show you some moves down there.
I can show you some more moves.
Yeah.
Travis, did you want to answer the other part of the question about the toilets?
I think basically what Deirdre said covers it. Depends on where you are. Would really determine what kind of convenience you would have. So it really varies from extremely good to extremely poor. Okay, so since Deirdre is a missionary, she would know exactly what John 14:27.
You can look it up. So, well, speaking of language, Deirdre, do you want to look that up?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, while she looks that up, so in Jamaica, are there multiple languages that are commonly used, or predominantly just a couple of languages?
Predominantly English, but we have what is called the patois.
It's like a Creole, right?
It's our broken language. It's a heart language. And if we begin to speak the Creole, you will maybe pick up on one and two things, but you may miss majority, perhaps because it is spoken very fast. We now have a translation of the Bible in the Jamaican Creole, which I'll ensure your pastor gets a copy. The typical Jamaican cannot read the Creole, but we speak it very well because there's a vowel system that we were not taught in school that they implement in order to write it, that it will make sense and follow some rule of English. But that's our heart language, the Jamaican Creole, otherwise known as a patois. And I'll say something, or maybe allow Deirdre to say something before we leave. All right, so she's asking about translations. Predominantly widespread in Jamaica is the Good King James Version. And because we're heavily influenced by the British. But now we are encouraging the reading of the NIV and the NRSV, especially in churches where the minister is exposed to theological training. It makes for better reading and better interpretation. So NIV, NRSV are generally promoted, but widely accepted and engraved in our culture is the use of the thou and the shall, and the thou shall not. So the use of the King James.
So John 15, verse 27.
14.
Yeah, so, no, sorry, John 14. It is John 14, 27. Sorry. It is, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid.
It's a very hard exercise. John 14, 27. I am leaving you with a gift. So in the Jamaican Creole, say, may I leave you, I may I left you with one gift. Make sense? Me, which is I, a, left. Left means to leave. You, with, a, pretty the same thing, gift. So may I left you with a gift, or with one gift. I won't go through the other parts of the verse.
No, I mean, just English. I didn't learn Gaelic in school, because I didn't go to a Catholic controlled school. I went to a grammar school, yeah. And I do speak patois, but not to order. No.
Yeah. So for those who haven't really got to know Deirdre yet, she's not from Jamaica. She's from Northern Ireland, and so if you weren't really sure what that accent is, Deirdre's from Northern Ireland and serving there as a missionary in Jamaica. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we have sometimes? So. She's asking about showers and warm water and cold water. We do have, most of us do have access to warm water. Sometimes we don't have access to water. The water in our area is switched off at night around 8, 9 p.m. and doesn't come back on until 6 a.m. the next morning. So you have to store water and take water from a barrel if you want to bathe or use water after 8 o'clock at night.
But the comforting thing is that when you visit Jamaica, perhaps you won't need warm water. It's a bit on the warmer side, so you'll be happy to have a cold shower.
Yeah.
You don't have cold showers? In Jamaica, you'll be happy to have them.
Yeah, Leonard, do you have a question? What's your question?
Do you guys miss anything?
Oh, okay.
What do you miss?
You mean do I miss anything in Jamaica when I'm in Jamaica? Do I miss anything from here or from Ireland? Constant warm water. Is one thing, and I probably miss the seasons, yes, because we basically have hot summer and warm winter. So we left Jamaica on Friday morning and it was 94 degrees. I live in St. Mary, Jamaica. I live in Anato Bay in St. Mary in Jamaica. Yeah, I'm just visiting here. Do I remember seeing you last year? Were you here last year? Were you here last year when I came? Were you at church? No, okay. So I've been in Jamaica now for almost 6 years.
Graham, do you have a question?
Yes, they do, but I've never experienced one, so I'm going to let Pastor Travis tell you a bit about a hurricane.
All right, so we have had several major hurricanes. Generally takes sometimes years to recover. Jamaica is below sea level, which it means that we are generally a bit low. So we have flooding and a number of infrastructural damage, because persons tend to build in sections that are advised against. So we have had several major hurricanes that have badly affected our country.
I want to make sure we leave some time for the kids downstairs, but can we maybe a couple questions from the pews? Any kids out here want to ask a question?
Yep.
Yeah, just speak up loud and we can hear you, or Chris has got a mic there for you.
How old are you?
Let me try to remember.
Are you actually out?
I'm 33.
How old are you?
That's quite fine. I'm 63. Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Any other kids' questions out there?
I'll go first with this one. I do have one small air conditioning unit in my bedroom in my home, and I use fans the rest of the time. But that wouldn't really be the norm. Lots of people do have, but it wouldn't be the norm. Now, in the church setting and in our work setting, I very often am based in a not obey church. The only person who has air conditioning is the pastor.
I'm hoping to occupy that office one day.
Well, let's thank the kids for their good questions this morning. And we'll go ahead and dismiss them so they can have a fun time worshiping the Lord downstairs. Yeah, we'll try to have quick questions so they can come down and. All right, let's turn it over to the grown-ups in the room. Anybody have a question for Pastor Travis or for Deirdre? Yeah, Dale.
Went to the end of the sanctuary and it was the wrong end.
I have a twofold question. First question is the missionary work a calling of God, or do you just feel like that's something you should do?
It was very much a calling from God.
Right.
Absolutely. I went to Jamaica for the first time in 2017 on a week-long mission trip, and I knew that God was calling me into ministry. Many of you have heard this story, but I felt it was the ministry on my doorstep, or the mission on my doorstep. Amen. And I preached that the whole way over to that, you know, on the plane. I mean, I told the girls I was with, this is an exciting adventure, but we all have a mission on our doorstep. But on the second night in St. Mary, Jamaica, in the mission house, God called me to
Praise
Jamaica.
The Lord. My second question is, in Jamaica, do you have the same freedom to preach the gospel that we enjoy here in the United States? Do you have that same liberty and freedom?
That's my question or Deidre's question?
Either one of
them. I think maybe in Jamaica you have greater freedom. Jamaica is considered as a Christian country, and the dominant religion is Christianity. Our laws are highly influenced and grounded in our biblical understanding of what our God in Christ expects of us as human beings. Before every major sitting of parliament, the Bible is read and prayers offered. It's the only religion that can publicly make utterances on a national scale. So our anthem and our pledge, which are recited and sung at every civic ceremonies, are prayers. And the church, which owns a number of our schools and is called upon in many ways. We have a number of national days of prayers and fastings. And so, yes.
I want to praise God for both of you and thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Can I just add that, you know, one of the things that really impacted me quite early on in Jamaica were listening to 3-year-olds singing the national anthem, which is Jamaica, land we love, every word of it. Yeah. Eternal Father, bless our land. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing.
The only time that I remember going to Jamaica was the only time I went. But But anyway, I just remember that there was a lot of little, we took a trip through the back roads, and I remember all these kids were running to or from school, and they had uniforms on, and they all dressed the same, and I think they said they go home for lunch or to eat something during the, and then they have to be back. And it was an experience that was great, but I just remember that. Can you tell me a little bit about the kids that are they going back home to eat? And it was a kind of a poor area, and that's just
many of them would probably maybe have been going home to eat. They could have been,
but they are kind of, the schools are even Christian, the
many, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, the majority actually.
And do they call themselves Christians, or?
I think how we would understand it is that a number of schools in Jamaica were started by Christian organizations. So when, for example, the Baptist, when Lyle came from Savannah, Georgia, he started work among the slaves on the plantation. And when slavery was being abolished, among the gospel work was like training opportunities for children, and out of that came many schools. Our schools are in urban but predominantly rural settings and context. And I suspect that you visited a rural area where it's like a village. And in every village there is a school. So those from that village attend that school. They would walk to school. During recess, perhaps they'll go back home to eat and to go back to school because their parents perhaps are not able to afford lunch money for them. So when the schools began, they were controlled and funded by the missionary organizations or the denominations, many of which were based outside of Jamaica, again, Britain. And so in order to become a teacher in many of those schools in the early days, you had to be a Christian. Uh-huh. And definitely the headmaster had to be a Christian and a leader in one of our churches. And our church buildings were multi-purposed. So there were churches or chapels on a Sunday, but there were school rooms during the week. And as our country developed, we have lost some of our schools where they have moved to other locations and properties that are government-owned, and so they're government-controlled. Last week I was in a meeting, a denominational meeting, where we still own a number of schools. And one of the things entrenched in our constitution, that churches that are owned, schools that are owned by churches, that the board of governor, the governance structure, is put in place by the church, and the government ratifies and respects that. So if there was a school owned originally by Here's Hope, Pastor Murdoch would be the board chairman, which is responsible for employing, hiring, and governing members of staff. But the government would pay the salaries. And it was said in a survey recently conducted that church-owned and church-governed schools in Jamaica are those that are performing the best.
Very good. Thank you. And I appreciate both of you.
That was my mom, and I didn't even know she went to Jamaica. I went to Jamaica, too, but I was in the grill, and I got to go to YS Falls and stuff. And Kingston was tough. It's rough. Is it still pretty rough, Kingston? And or how far are you from Kingston?
We're just over an hour from Kingston.
Okay. Have you ever been to Negril?
Yes, I've been to Negril just a couple of times, but Travis has been more.
Well, I'm originally from close to Negril.
No kidding?
So, yeah, so I know everywhere in Negril.
Okay, Rick's Cafe.
Yeah. Jump from the cliff, sunset. Yeah.
Yes, awesome.
All right, so Kingston, if I should put it in context, is like the city. Mm-hmm. And you know, city life comes with some kind of trappings. So in terms of densely populated, use of drugs, prevalence of gun, robbery.
Is there gangs? The gang activity there?
Probably not. To like some lesser extent, no. Yeah. But they are. But the truth is that what Kingston was, I was painted to be, is kind of present everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of present everywhere now. Okay. So, historically, many Jamaicans would not go to Kingston because that's a place where you would be robbed.
Right.
Now, robbery exists everywhere.
Right.
So persons are not scared to go to Kingston because some of the things and the activities that takes place in Kingston are present in St. Mary and in Montego Bay and in Negril and so forth. Yes.
And here too.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's probably, like you say, more concentrated because of the dense population.
Mm-hmm. And people move from the rural areas into Kingston. Okay. To work. I mean, there are more jobs available.
Absolutely beautiful country. I love it. I think the school system of Christianity, that's a neat thing. God bless both of you. I love you, Deidre. Good to see you.
If you have been to Ricks and Negril and West Falls, you have seen a little bit of Jamaica.
I was given some questions that I can ask. One of them I'm going to ask is, how has your ministry impacted your faith?
Me?
Either one.
Okay, well, I'll go first then. He passes over the hard questions to me. But I'm going to let him answer it as well.
You gave him the toilet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My ministry has totally impacted my faith. I mean, it has strengthened it. My faith has been challenged so many times. But within that, God has showed up faithful each time. We have a saying, he's too faithful to fail. And he is too faithful to fail, absolutely. But you have to stand firm in your faith when, when trials come, and there are many trials, just of different levels and many things. And sometimes, you have that discouragement. But if your faith is firm, it will see you through all that. And my ministry over the years has developed. I mean, I was there the whole way through COVID when my ministry totally changed. And now it has evolved into, specific areas like, holistic care ministry, where we want those that are truly in need, that we will be able to address their needs. Domestic violence, gender-based domestic violence and abuse, which is very prevalent. And I'm trying to... in collaboration with the police in Jamaica and the Jamaica Council of Churches, we've gotten together and we're trying to pool resources so that we can help those that need. Quite recently, they have started up a street pastors organization. It actually started in Jamaica. It was born in Jamaica. It came to the UK. And now they're trying to expand that ministry into St. Mary at the moment, and that's exciting for me. Also, we have had 37 Haitians that arrived in St. Mary 3 months ago. And so they came in a boat. They were headed for the US. They ended up washed up just a few miles from Monado Bay, and we've been involved with trying to help those folk. There are 8 children within the 37, several women, but mostly men. And of the 8 children, I think there are 3 children under 2. So sometimes, you know, it's like, who do you help next? And but you reach one, and as you reach one, you help them. It's like the starfish on the beach story. But yeah, if your faith is firm, absolutely.
All right, so I want to thank you for that question. It is something that I have perhaps been thinking about in recent days. In fact, yesterday I was listening to a podcast about the church that Christ is building. And I would give this as my initial thoughts, that I believe my ministry has deepened my faith as it pertains to, one, my understanding of God, and two, how I view fellow human beings. As a pastor in a traditional church, ideally placed with a very strong history and a wide reach, I have to constantly remind myself that I have been placed there by God to help fellow human beings. And perhaps this is where I sometimes get in trouble with everybody around me, including DJ in the office, that nobody who comes, I try to treat them differently or to turn them away, that I am just there to help. And I try to help you equally as I would help Pastor James if he comes as a fellow colleague and as a pastor. And so I think it has helped me in terms of the programs we have introduced, how we have distributed the resources, or utilized the resources of the church, how I even interact and engage with the ordinary, the undesirable, those who walk off the street, those who are the unnamed, and I try to see, I am Christ's representative in this community. And I have to extend the same grace as Pastor spoke about earlier and demonstrate the kind of love that represents Christ, whom I've come to know and I've come to experience. So those are my few little mumblings in Jesus' name.
Well, first of all, I'm AJ, and thank you so much for answering my daughter's question about the toilets. Anytime we travel, that is obviously her first question, you know, and she's, anyway. Just curious if you guys are willing or want to share just how you, your Jesus story, like how did you come to know him? What did that look like? Yeah, just whatever you're willing to share.
Okay, well, I'll very, very briefly. I was 42 before I came to know the Lord. And my first thought was, why did it take me so long? But very quickly, I became involved in church, in local church back home. And evangelism very quickly became a big focus on my life. And I remember asking someone, why would God put a calling on your life when you're involved? You know, I got involved in outreach and evangelism and discipleship and sharing the gospel on the streets very, very quickly. And I felt so ill-equipped for so many years. And I was ill-equipped. I was a young Christian, but I had a strong band of people around me who encouraged me. I had close friends who had prayed for me for 5 years before I finally accepted the call. And I have to speak honestly and say that sometimes God removes people from your life so that he can place a calling on your life. And I had to, yeah, I mean, I separated from my husband and then was divorced. And I know, I think I'm pretty convinced that I would not have accepted God's call in my life if my husband still had been involved. And that was a difficult thing and a difficult family thing as well. But the calling on my life to be in ministry was there from just weeks after I accepted Christ in my life. And it was the best decision ever. So I'll encourage anyone who's here who doesn't know the Lord personally, you need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life.
All right, so I must confess that these questions are very, very thought-stimulating. And I must further confess that I almost didn't make it to church this morning because I wanted to sleep. But I must thank you for the question. And it's a question I've answered several times before. And I ground it in Jeremiah chapter 1. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I've called you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. My conversion wasn't dramatic, but every time I think about it and talk about it, I am more convinced that God divinely organized and led me to make that profession of faith. So whenever I talk about it, I say things like this: that one, I was born outside of wedlock. And in my tradition, the Baptists of Jamaica, steeped in influence by Britain, if your parents were not married, then you would be dedicated on a Wednesday evening in the pastor's office. So children dedicated on a Sunday morning in chapel were of a particular class. So I was one of those who were dedicated on a Wednesday evening in the pastor's office. And I attended children's ministry Sunday school because we had to have a sponsor. So you had to have a member of the church, the congregation, as your godparent, as one of your godparent, in order to be christened or dedicated at the church. And so my sponsor was a very active member of the church. And so on her account, I had to come to church by will or by force. So I grew up in Sunday school. And at the age of 10, influenced by the entire community and different programs of discipleship, I was led to make a faith commitment. I was immersed, and I had opportunities. So to come on stage, maybe if I was in Here's Hope today, I would be up here asking questions. And that is how I was nurtured in the faith, serving youth ministry, serve as an usher, the different ministries of the church. And when the time come for me to go to college, I wanted to be a teacher, which I applied, and I was successful. But somehow, I applied for a guidance and counseling program at a Bible school. And that's where I went, and I did a double major. I started studying theology and guidance and counseling, and I realized that my life began to lean more towards that end. And every time I stand in church on a Sunday morning to christen a child, whether born in or outside of wedlock, I just say, look what the Lord has done. And again, it's just the outworking of God's divine plan, orchestrated before the foundation of the earth. And those are kind of my thoughts whenever I think about answering that question, how I came to faith, and how I came to submit myself, hand of God upon your life for a life of service. That's just God's doing, not my intent. I have nothing to do with it. It's just worked out.
Hello. Good morning to you both. So my question may be a little challenging. I'm just prepping you. First of all, I want to start it by, you can see the aura around you both. You can tell you have very strong spirits, and bless you for that. You talked about ministering to folks that need ministered to. I think you said undesirables, things like that. It translates to me that you get to encounter the enemy. So I'd like to hear a story from either of you about any time that you've actually encountered the enemy, he's seen you, and that you had to actually do God's work to help somebody from that influence.
Wow. Yeah, I think I maybe shared a little bit about this last year when I was here, but there was a young man who had come to church in an Ottawa Baptist several times. He had been at the altar, and he had, Pastor Travis had ministered to him on several occasions. He was deeply, deeply disturbed, and he was in need of deliverance. But one Sunday, he came to church, and he came to the altar. I led up the altar ministry in church, and I was at the altar with him, along with several others that day. Pastor Travis had gone to preach in another one of his churches, and the service came to an end. I was busy doing something else, and somebody came to call for me. And this young man was at the back, towards the back of the church in one of the pews. He was actually lying prostrate in the pew, and he was in distress. There was a deacon with him, and I joined her. There was another person who came, and we just cried Jesus over him. Immediately in my spirit, I knew it was the enemy. It was spiritual warfare. It was one of the most challenging times, possibly the most challenging time, and the most prevalent to me. Just the spiritual warfare was, the devil was, he was consumed. And I just felt so ill-equipped. We just cried Jesus, and we just prayed for Jesus' intervention. I texted Pastor Travis several times. I knew that he wasn't available. I knew he wouldn't be able to come down, and we just knew that this young man needed just that experienced prayer over him, that total just deliverance. We did, we prayed and we wiped him down. We anointed him with water and oil, and so many people were praying for him, but so many people in the church did not approach him because of just that. It was an aura that was around him, but it certainly wasn't. It wasn't a Christ-like aura at that time. And I was in distress as well, but the Lord just kept saying, just keep praying, just keep praying, just keep praying. I'm in control. I'm in control. Finally, we got him pacified to the extent where he could sit up and he could talk to us, but he just said I need deliverance. I need deliverance. And when Pastor Travis returned, we took him to the office. And you were in there for 2 hours, maybe. It was. But I was drained. I was totally, I'd had several other experiences of true spiritual warfare. I met white witches in Cornwall and stuff like that. But, this was something that I had never experienced close up for such a prolonged period of time. And we feared for this young man's life at one stage. And he would agree with us. Story, but we got him into the office, and long story short, Pastor Travis can intervene here if he wants, but he gave his life to Christ that day, and he was baptized very soon, very shortly afterwards, and he's one of the most amazing servants of God that he is.
I speak after the sermon.
Yes, yeah. I mean, he has preached several times. Just a true transformation. One of the most amazing transformations that I have seen in Jamaica, and an amazing young man. So, I mean, pray for him.
I'm sorry, I was back there just enjoying the discussion.
My name is Chrissy, and it's good to see you both again. I was wondering, as you guys are just personally in the Word on your own, how God is revealing himself to you, things that are standing out about his character as you study, and how God is using those truths about who he is to encourage or challenge you to continue to trust him. And then the other side of the question also, are there currently areas in your life or in your ministry where you're feeling discouraged and we could be praying for you?
All right, so DJ saying I should do the first part and then she'll do the second part. So I want to thank her for taking the harder part. I mean, if you're going to lead persons as a spiritual leader, then there is a need to cultivate a level of spirituality for yourself, which ought to be ongoing and ever deepening. So I do spend a lot of time reading, especially in terms of preparing to share through sermons, Bible study, and also personal devotion. As I shared yesterday, I've been reflecting on and listening to a little podcast about the church that Jesus is building, which, as the presenter said, is not in blocks and stones. It is within each of us that Christ, through faithful believers, that Christ is building God's church, and that we have the authority to unlock the gate. And he was saying that it doesn't matter the size of a gate, which is the presence and the prevalence of evil and its outworkings in the world, that we have been equipped by Christ to make a difference. The truth is that it is God who has equipped us, each of us, placed his spirit within us and gives us the kind of resources that we need to be effective witnesses and to challenge and to bring down the forces of evil present in this community and in all communities of the world. And so I am confident that as long as we remain faithful to God, his character, his nature, is that he's faithful. He's consistent. And as I would oftentimes share, he's consistent in love, consistent in grace, consistent in mercy. That is what the Bible says. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Consistent. And so, as long as we do our part in terms of depending and leaning on him, recognizing our own weaknesses, it was said earlier in this service, our need for God's grace, then it is always available and accessible to us. And so, all of us are but servants, and I always remember that. I am but a servant in need of God's grace, and God will dispense and use me even as a dispenser of that same grace as we do ministry. So, I have been just relying on a God who has called us and has placed his spirit within us, and at every stage and season promised that he will use us, utilize us to bring glory to his name. So that's the first part. I'll allow Deidre to answer. You know, she went to grammar school, so she'll give us a
ha ha. You talked about discouragement, and it is easy to become discouraged. I think one of my my biggest challenges sometimes is, you know, the need is so great in so many different ways, in so many different areas. And I feel sometimes, you know, many times I pray to God, please provide, please provide, please, please, please provide the resources that we need to help this person or this family or this situation. And it's so difficult sometimes to communicate to those people, to my partners here, to churches that support me, like you guys. Sometimes it's so difficult to share the situations that you're seeing, you know, I mean, day by day, on a daily basis, and those in genuine need. And it's so difficult as well to discern the greatest need. I just have to go to God in prayer about it. And he does answer. He answers prayer in so many different ways, and he answers prayer so timely. But it's not in my time. And so that causes frustration, and it causes my discouragement as well. And when you've only got X amount of dollars to use on a certain project, and you know that you really need three times that amount of dollars, it's even more discouraging and frustrating sometimes. But God does provide. I mean, he does. He provides. He's a faithful God. And I have never wanted and never lacked during any of my time in Jamaica. But I always have that heart that I want to be able to do more for those that I'm working alongside. We want to be able to pour into them, not only financially, but we need to pour into them spiritually as well and come alongside them. You know, I have an example of quite recently of a family of three who came to the altar and accepted the Lord. And they're experiencing some challenges in their spiritual walk, and that can be discouraging as well. So we need to rely on God. We need to rely, as Travis has said, on his grace and his mercy. We need to rely and just stand firm in our faith and know that the promises that he makes, that he will never leave us or forsake us. But that doesn't stop the discouragement. So I would ask you that you would pray that our faith, my faith, would always overcome any discouragement or disappointment that I have. And that I know that I have been called to where I am. I know that that's where God wants me to be, and I know he wants me to continue to be there in this time and definitely in this season. And so I know he will provide. But please pray that as I pray to him, that my faith remains strong, and I just keep my eyes on Christ.
Hi, I'm new at this church. You know, Deirdre, I'm quite getting emotional. You said that you had to leave your husband to do your work, and I know that was quite difficult, but I know it's important to have a support system in your life with the work that you do, and I'm curious, who do you have that support you, and how do they stay involved, and what other ways can people help support you emotionally, you know, spiritually, prayer, what other ways can people help you?
Thank you for that. I do have my, I'm with a new organization called World Gospel Mission. They're based here in Indiana, out of Marion. And I do have an amazing support system through that organization. We have, you know, women's prayer groups within the, I mean, and they're all over the globe, you know, so they're from, you know, Mexico right through to Tennessee to here in Indiana, and across in the UK actually as well. So I do have a great support group there, but I also have an amazing group of pastors and leaders and friends within Jamaica that I can call upon at any time. And I think we have supported each other through COVID in so many ways. And I know that I've said this before, you know, I arrived back in Jamaica at one stage 3 weeks before COVID, And when the island was closing down, I spoke to, Travis was one of the pastors that I spoke to, and I said, why did the Lord allow me to come back here? I mean, how am I going to disciple when we can't come out of our houses? And he said, Sister Deirdre, we're going to do ministry differently. And we did. But I know that I have someone at the end of a phone. I have someone that I can text. I have someone that I can email, video call. There's someone. I have an amazing group of supporters and partners here in Indiana, in the Kokomo area as well, and in many other areas of the states. But if you're, you know, if you feel that you have to get on your knees and call on the Lord, He is there. He is my mainstay. He is always there. And sometimes, you know, if it's like, if somebody asks me, you know, do you feel alone? I don't ever feel totally alone, because I'm not alone, because the Lord is with me. I may be lonely sometimes, not often, but I'm never alone.
My turn. I'm carrying a microphone around a lot. I had to ask a question. So we've heard a lot about some of your challenges, prayers for your weaknesses. The last time you were here, you were talking about a blessing of church building. Can you tell us how that's coming along?
All right, excellent. So this year we are celebrating 200 years since the start of our church. And in preparation for 200th anniversary, we thought it was not just a time to celebrate, but to look back and also to look ahead. And so that's how our children's ministry began. And we thought that one of the greatest needs of our church is to acquire a building for ministry space, for the continued work of the church in terms of outreach and children's ministry. So we formed a committee and we began to do the preparatory work. A plan was developed and we started promoting in terms of raising funds. We got support. We decided that we'd build in three phases. We completed phase one, but we have not gone on to phase two. But in the completion of phase one, there was a new development where the property next door became available. And that's a long story that I'm not weary to share. But we have been able, after much prayer and advocating, so we are securing the property next door. We have made a significant down payment, and we now have access to the property, which is land and building. So that is the latest update. And we ask that you continue to pray for us, because we believe that God has been leading us. When your pastor comes in the next few months, he will give you a full update as to how we are utilizing the building, how it looks. He promised me that he'll come in 2024. So we are holding him to that promise. How it looks and how we are utilizing it to impact people's lives and to glorify God's name.
Do the children there get a box like that?
Through some of the churches, they do, yeah.
Oh, and that means so much. Just your own toothbrush and a wash rag is a gift. It's so, those boxes are such a blessing.
Yeah, they are.
Kids.
Yeah, we wish probably that so many more children in Jamaica could, because it's a specific sort of area by area. But when I talk about holistic care ministry, that's, you know, that would be the wish, that we could help provide even backpacks for going back to school at that particular time of the year. And so that would be a big part of the holistic care ministry that I would be advocating. Yeah.
Perhaps the final thing I'll say is that during the 200 year of celebration, we have been able to do a lot more than securing a property next door. We, as a church, we have a number of outreach programs, and we decided that this year we would intensify our efforts. We had a outreach day where we gave almost 200 care packages across our communities. What were we? 150 meals we distributed on one day. For back to school this year, we gave a number of backpacks and packages for the children. I know that yesterday we had a community walk run. I wasn't there, but I saw pictures. It was held yesterday. And the next week, Sunday, we'll be having a community health fair after church, because we really want to be people-focused, focused on the communities around us. And that is how we have been trying to exercise our ministry. There are other things, but I'm just not remembering.
Yeah, the year has been absolutely, I mean, there's been something going on. We had a week of homecoming from the end of July to the beginning of August, and the distribution of care packages, etc., happened at the end of that homecoming week. But we had such a varied, I can't remember all the events from homecoming either, sorry, but it was amazing. I would say, I would encourage you that if you don't know that Another Bay Baptist, we're on YouTube. Our services are on every Sunday. And there are also other videos on YouTube as well that you can see. You can follow us on Facebook as well. And you'll see how the year has progressed and the many, many things and how we have invested within the community in that area. And there are other churches in the area as well that are endeavouring to come alongside and invest more within the community. We are right on the main street of Anato Bay, right there, the beacon of light in the community. What Pastor Travis said is so true. No one is turned away from the church door, whether they come in praise and thanksgiving or they come in great need, whether they walk in suicidal or they walk in praising the Lord, we are there for them. There is a prayer room set up in the new property as well. That was one thing that we did through homecoming week, and it's there, it's available if people need that space. And sometimes that's exactly what they need. They need a space, or they need someone that is able and willing to listen to them and invest some time in them. So there are many, many ways that you can help us in our efforts just to make life a little better for those that need it most.
Do you associate with other missionaries there, like the Mormons, or, you know, other missionaries are there? Do you get together with anybody like that?
Not necessarily so. I mean, there are other missionaries in the area and in other parishes as well. And I do have knowledge of them, and I do. But as far as getting together with them, not really. I mean, there would be communication, but not within our immediate area, no.
Well, let's go ahead and thank Deirdre and Travis for being with us today. They didn't ask anything of us to be here, so they didn't know I'm going to do this, but I do want to give an opportunity, if the Lord's prompting you, to join in their ministry and to help in some way, whether it be with Pastor Travis and his ongoing schooling, or to help the church there in Jamaica, or with Deirdre and what she is doing as a missionary there with World Gospel Mission. We do want to give you a next step. I mean, if God is prompting you to financially give to them, we welcome that. So there's the slips up here by the box. If you'd like to give to them, please write down on there, missionary or Pastor Travis, if you want to come alongside if God's prompting that. Go ahead and joyfully give and participate in what they're doing in ministry. But all of us, absolutely, whether that's you today or not, all of us really need to be in prayer. They are sold out for Jesus Christ. And I know that all of us are going to be prompted in the days ahead. We're going to remember this time, and the Lord's going to bring them to mind. And when he does, we need to be in prayer and be faithful to do that. So can I just get a show of hands that you will commit to praying for Travis and Deirdre? As the Lord brings them to mind, that you will be faithful to do that ongoing. And I'd like to ask Pastor Travis if you would pray for us to close us today.
All right, so I just want to thank you, Pastor James, for the opportunity. I remember the first time I came to Here's Hope, I walked around that side, had an opportunity to see the community, and we had conversations. I don't know if you remember, but I'm grateful to see how the Lord is adding to the church those who are being saved. And I just want to pray God's blessing over this congregation, and that you'll truly be a lighthouse and a rescue boat in this part of Kokomo. That through this church, many families and individuals will be blessed. That lives will be challenged and changed. And that God's kingdom will be built. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the consciousness that anything we ask in your name, according to your will, that it will be granted. We thank you for your sons and daughters who have responded to your call and whom you have called into this community at this time to work so that the kingdom of God will be expanded. We thank you for your servant, James, for his willingness, his obedience, his faithfulness. We thank you, Almighty God, that he has surrendered his life to you, and that, Lord, you have been using the gifts that you have given to him so that the lives of others can be enriched. Lord, today we pray for this church. We pray for every member, every congregant, every visitor that is associated with this church. We ask that your blessing will rest upon them. We ask that your blessing will overtake them. We ask, Almighty God, that as you steer the gifts that you have given to them, that truly this church will serve as a lighthouse, publicly proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We ask that children and youth and adults will come to find a place of welcome and a place of peace. We pray that, Lord, you will unite them in hearts and thoughts and mission and motive. We pray that, God, together they will achieve great things for you, and that, Lord, through you, those around will come to experience life and peace. So, Lord, we ask that you'll bless them. We pray that, Lord, you'll use them. Lord, may you increase every aspect of church life. We commit and commend them to you and the grace of your keeping. So we say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the God of heaven lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant you peace, both now and forever. And together we say, amen.
Going to momentarily dismiss and have lunch downstairs. If you would like to know more about World Gospel Mission or Deirdre's activity on their behalf as a missionary, we have some contact info here. I'm just going to set these by the box up here, so please grab one of these. There's plenty. But I do encourage you, as a church, we support Deirdre as a missionary, and we are so blessed to be able to be a partner with her. But individually, too, you know, God may be prompting you today to be part of that ministry, and certainly God will guide you in that. So be willing to be obedient and to give. So let's go ahead and have the blessing. And Danny, do you have a mic there?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, Danny's going to lead us in a blessing and a prayer for the food, and then let's enjoy a feast. But certainly everybody say hello downstairs. Spend some time getting to spend with Travis and with Deirdre.
Okay, let's read the blessing together here, folks, if you don't mind.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
I'll also go ahead and bless the food here for Ray and Joy. Okay, thank you, Father, for this meal we're getting ready to enjoy today. We certainly appreciate that and these wonderful guests and this great church. Thank you so much. I get emotional.